Good morning, and welcome to the Preaching of the Cross radio program. My name is Jerry Arnold, and I'm the pastor of the Pottersville Baptist Church, located out here in Pottersville, Missouri, just 10 miles west on K Highway, west of West Plains. Now, let's get ready to worship, and let's open up the Word of God.
So, to me, probably some of the most valuable words in all of the Bible, I think these two verses that I'm going to preach on this morning, they need to be included in your memory verses. Take them home, memorize them, put them on, like the Bible says, the tablets of your heart, and hide them in your heart so that you won't sin against the Lord. But you just need to know these right here are good advice. Like I said, in coming from the wisest man in all the Bible, because the Bible says that God gave this man this wisdom. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you got a Bible like mine, it'll be on page 704. If you don't have a Bible like mine, then just it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's right after Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and before Song of Solomon chapter 1. So that's the best I can do for you, okay? All right, y'all help me. Come on now. I know you're a bunch of rednecks and you love the Lord and you can shout amen every once in a while. Let me know that you're here and awake. All right? I know what it's like. You get out there in the hot summertime, you get to work, and then you come inside and we got the air on and you get still. And if you don't watch it, you'll start doing this. All right? So if your neighbor does that, we've got pencils. That's not for filling out visitor cards. Those pencils are for waking up your neighbor. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I mean, you got legal right to stab somebody at church. Y'all not happy about that? I mean, come on. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to look at two verses. The Bible says in verse number 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon, think about it. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Brother Jerry, if I just do two things my whole life, what are they? Fear God and keep His commandments. Why? The explanation, verse number 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, nothing hid, whether it be good, whether it be evil. One of these days, God's going to roll back the carpet and we'll stand before God, open and exposed and give an account of what we've done here on this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will bring every work into judgment. He'll make it all pass through with every secret thing, the things that we don't know about, or the things that we've tried to forget about, the things we think nobody else knows about, whether it be good, and there's good things we do, try to keep it quiet, and God get reward for that, or God will give us reward for that, or whether it be evil, and we will suffer loss because of that. But the whole conclusion of the matter is this: fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of Your Word this morning. Please bless, Lord, the preached Word as well. Give me the words that I need to say and help me not just, Lord, just to be speaking, just to be speaking. But, Father, I pray, God, that You anoint the words that I will say and that I want to say. Father, anoint them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And, God, I pray that people would listen and people would respond accordingly. And, Father, that nobody, Father, would leave out of here in any worse condition. But, God, we would all draw closer to You. And I pray that, Father, God, I just want to thank You for giving us these words and giving us Your Bible and giving us a word that we can count on, have faith in. And I pray that, Father, this morning, Your Spirit just have free reign. Help us, God, as we try to worship You, as we try to open up the bread of life, the Word of God, and read from it. God, speak to our hearts, please, Lord. We can just read. That's all that we can do. But You can speak to our hearts, and I'm asking You, Father, please do that this morning. From the youngest person to the oldest person, God, please speak to our hearts. Save a soul, change a life, do something in our midst that only You can do. In the precious name of Jesus, help us, God. Amen. Amen. Preach a message entitled, "To Make a Long Story Short." How's that sound? I know that we've always heard, or every one of us has heard somebody talking. And especially if you get the pleasure of dealing with somebody that just won't stop talking, you know what I'm talking about? And you're on the inside dying, and you're just like, come on, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up. And they just won't. You know that type of person. That's the type of person that you need to avoid a little bit later on in life. But you want to scream at them, hey, can we wrap this up? Can you make a long story short? Or you just hear people say that every once in a while. I'm going to make a long story short. I was reading this one time, and I don't remember how long ago it was. It's probably been 10, 15 years. And after I get to the end of it, now Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books to teach, probably my favorite book to teach in the Bible besides Ruth, maybe. One of the first times that I was reading this, though, I got to verse number 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I thought, you know, he's talked for 12 chapters about everything that's going on in his life and everything that God has given him. And then at the end, he winds it up. And I had that thought, to make a long story short. I thought, man, that'd be a good sermon title. Like I said, that was 15 years ago. So today, y'all actually get to hear the conclusion of that thought. To make a long story short, if there was ever a person in the Bible that could have had the t-shirt that read, been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, it was definitely King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon inherits the throne from his father David. He realizes that this leadership position is too much and he could not lead this nation by his own strength and his own power. So the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 3 appears to Solomon in a dream and essentially gives him a blank check. In verse number 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, God says, "Ask what I shall give thee." And writes him that blank check. And Solomon asks for God to give him, listen to this, an understanding heart that he can discern. He can discern between good and evil so that he can rightly judge and govern and lead God's people. He asked for God to show him and to show him how to judge and how to lead God's people and God's kingdom. And God says in verse number 11, listen to this, God says, because you did not ask for a long life, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for victory and the death of your enemies or anything like that, what I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you more wisdom and understanding than anybody that was ever before you or anybody that will ever come after you. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us about the pleasures of this life through the lenses of God's wisdom. All right, does everybody follow me so far? The book of Ecclesiastes is he is telling you everything this world has to offer, but it's viewed through the lenses of God's wisdom because God gives this man wisdom. Listen to this. In chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, I'm just going to break them all up and say it like this. He says, I've seen everything come and go. He said, the sun, the wind, the rivers, even man comes and go, and there's nothing new under the sun. In chapter 2, he said, I've had power, I've had money, I've had great and peculiar and rare works of art. He said, I've had men singers and women singers. He said, I've had all types of music and entertainment. I've had prestige and legacy. I've had lands and ponds of water and servants, and not just servants of the household, but servants and generations of servants born inside my household. He said, I've been joyful and I've been depressed. He said, I realize in chapter 3 that there is a time and a season for every purpose under the heavens. When you go through something here in this life, there's a reason for it and there's a time for it, and it will come to pass just like everything else. He said, I've had victories, I've had defeats. These are things that I've written down throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, I've seen the oppression. I've seen the evils of this life. He said, I've had plans work out, and I've had some of my own personal plans to fail. He said, I've seen good men do evil things and I've seen bad men do great things. He said, I've seen the wise act like a fool and I've seen the fool act pretty wise. He said, I've seen the strong become weak and I've seen the young become old. But at the end of everything that he's seen and after end of everything he's done, this is what he says. He said, after everything that I've seen and I had all the blessings that I've had, he said, I've had the opportunity, listen to this, to reflect on my life and reflect on all that I've been given. And he said, and out of all the power and the money and the arts and music, entertainment, prestige, the legacy, all the land, the servants, the joy, the hurt, the pain, out of everything that I've seen, the wisest man in the Bible, according to the Word of God, at the end of his life says this, the best advice that I can give you is to fear God, keep His commandments, because one day we will stand in front of God and God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The conclusion of this book, the conclusion of this wise book, the book of wisdom, is that there is no point in killing ourselves to have the things and loving the things of this world, because the things of this world will perish and burn away. But we are to enjoy what God has given us while we have the opportunity and to fear Him and to live for Him. The wisest man in all the Bible says two things. Make a long story short. Fear God, keep His commandments, because one day we'll answer for it. Think about that. This is what you do when you get to the point in your life where Solomon's at. He's got everything. That's the thing that I think is so impressive about this man. Is he's got everything, but at the end of having everything, he looks back. And I think we've all come to that point sometime in our life whenever we're able to kind of grow up and mature and think, was that really worth it? You know, And it's amazing that I've had so many people in there, you know, come to me and say, well, Brother Jerry, what I did in my 20s and 30s, I was killing myself, you know. I was killing myself to make money. Now I'm spending the money that I was killing myself to make in order to keep myself alive. And it just don't make any sense. I heard an old rock and roll singer. I understand this guy, this is a heathen. This is just a heathen that's on his way to hell. He said, in my 20s and 30s, I was taking drugs to kill me. Now that I'm in my 60s and 70s, I'm taking drugs to keep me alive. You say, what perspective changes? He says in chapter 1, he said, I thought that money was life. I thought that prestige was life. I thought that legacy was life. I thought that land was life. I thought that power and control. I thought that all that stuff was life. And so I got it. And at the end of getting it, I realized that it was vanity. I realized that the land that I'd killed myself to get one of these days was going to go to my son-in-law. And who knows if he might be a fool. He might lot it up and sell it and don't even give a flip that I killed myself to get it. He said, so I came to this conclusion at the end of chapter 2. The conclusion of the wisest man in the Bible says this, therefore I hated life. You don't think that he had had time to look back on everything? He said, look, he said, the land will be gone. The money will be gone. The power will be gone. The legacy will be gone. But there's one thing that won't be gone. What I do for God. Make a long story short, you're going to be in this life. Look at the beginning of chapter 12. For everybody that's under 50, look at this. Or I can say under 40, because I feel like an old man at 40 sometimes. Look at this in chapter 12, verse number 1. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say that I have no pleasure in them. We don't realize it, but there's a day coming, hey, that life's not going to be all sunshine. Believe it or not, all you teenagers, just look at me real quick. There's going to come a day whenever you get out of bed, and it takes you longer to get out of bed than it does to actually get to work. You're going to wake up and grunt and pop and strain. You get out of breath putting on your socks in the morning. You don't now. You just wake up and you bounce out of the bed. You can fall, roll across the floor, and you can run. You can stay up all night and do that. But now when you stay up all night, you pay for it. It takes about 3 to 5 days to recover. Somebody help me. So that's the evil days. That's the evil day. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When you're young, yeah, enjoy life. Live in the pleasures of God. But remember that there's a God in heaven that's watching down. There's a God in heaven that you'll give an account for in the days of your youth, when you're in your teens, when you're 20s and 30s and 40s. But most of the time we don't realize. Most of the time we look back on our life and think, man, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I'd have done that. And Solomon at the end of his life is saying, don't be that type of person. Let me show you what you need to do. I've had laughter. I've had joy. I've had hurt. I've had pain. I've had money. I've had everything. And at the conclusion of my life, at the end of my life, I'm telling you, the best thing that you can do is fear God and keep His commandments, because one day it'll all come into judgment and you'll give an account of how you lived your life. You can live your life for money, you can live it for fame, for fortune, you can live your life for a million different things that this world tries to sell you. And if you live your life for that, for me to live is money and to die is total loss. But the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is to die is gain. You live for God today, I promise you, it won't be a wasted life. But if you live for the material possessions of this world and the things of this world, whenever you die, you will suffer great loss. There's more to this life than having money. There's more to this life than having a big farm and having nice clothes and having nice cars. One of the best things in the world is just having a God that loves you, having a salvation, having an eternal home in heaven, having a family that's in church serving you, seeing your kids grow up and raise them in the love and admonition of the Lord, and sitting around here. I tell people in this room, some of the most blessed people in this room are some of the grandparents that's right here seeing your son and your daughter and your grandchildren. And some of you are so blessed you have great-grandchildren that's in here right now. Some of the most blessed people, I don't care. I'd rather be sitting up here as a great-grandpa and seeing my daughters in church serving the Lord and seeing my grandkids serving the Lord and seeing my great-kids, great-grandkids than you give me millions and millions and millions of dollars. I'd rather have my family in church serving God. And Solomon says, fear God, keep His commandments, because you'll go to the grave right in that way. Fear God. Write this one down. Fear God. That word means two separate and equal things. Now, I know that lots of the people today, they teach that that just means to revere. That's part of the definition, to reverence God. But it also means to frighten. All right? For all us normal people, We drive down the road. I don't care. I don't care. I don't think there'll ever be a day in my salvation when I will ever get past this point. If I ever see blue lights, I always think they're coming after me. Does anybody else like me? I don't care how long I've been saved. I can be at the house and hear cops coming down the road and think, no, I've not even done anything. I don't care how sanctified, how saved you get. I guarantee I can get in my truck right now. I can set my cruise on 54 mile per hour, put my seatbelt on, put hands at 10 and 12, and take off down the road. And if I see a car, I don't care. Now, some of you, listen, if you're a first responder, you don't need a vehicle with lights on top. That's cheating. That's fraud. You ought to be pulled over and whooped. Amen? Put your lights somewhere else besides that, because I get tired of putting the brakes on every time I see a firefighter. Woo! But I can be doing nothing wrong, and all of a sudden I can see those blue lights coming over the top of the hill, and I start slowing down. You say, well, Jerry, you're not speeding. It don't matter. There's something about it. You say, what, Brother Jerry, are you scared of that cop? No. Are you scared? I'm scared of what he stands for. You say, what? I fear that police officer. You say, what's wrong with the world today? We've lost our fear of authority. We don't respect them the way that the Bible says for us to fear God and keep His commandments. That's not saying that we got to be scared all the time to talk to God. No, that means whenever we approach Him, realizing that He is an all-powerful, all-knowing God that holds our souls in the palm of His hand. And the Bible says for us not to fear man, but to fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He is an all-powerful, all-knowing being that gave us His Son Jesus, could have let us die and go to hell, but didn't, gave us His Son Jesus and saved our souls, knows everything about us. And whenever I approach Him, I'm supposed to respect Him in a reverent and fearful type of manner. When you see that cop, it don't matter if you're doing everything right, you still, I do. Every time I see it, I can be wearing my seatbelt, which is a rare occasion, all right? I'm not good at wearing my seatbelt, but if I'm wearing my seatbelt and I see that police officer, I still do one of these. And if I'm not wearing my seatbelt and I pass him, I do one of these. Well, Jerry, you shouldn't do that. Well, I'd do it. Y'all pray for me, all right? See how come? Law says do 55. And if the law wants to, he can get me for doing 56. And I don't want him to get me. Brother Mark McGahee, every once in a while, he'll tell a story about an older man that goes to his church. And, of course, the older man was giving a testimony about D-Day and about storming the beaches there. And he said that he was I can't remember his rank in the Army, but he said before they were shipped out, they had a guy come in there, and he raised his hand and said for some final advice, because life expectancy was just like, I mean, by the time you get there and draw your first breath, I mean, you're expected to die by then. And he was asking, he said, what's one of the best ways to stay alive? And he said his instructor looked at him and said, get scared and listen to your commander. And he tells a story about being trapped over there when they're on one side of the hill and it rained, and all of a sudden it rained and it became very hard to march on the side of the hill. And he said that their feet started getting stuck in the mud. And this is the story that Brother Mark tells. He said it gets stuck in the mud. And he said, and they're on the other side of the hill shooting into the hill that we're on. And he said, and as we're over there, he said, our commander's in the back screaming at us. And he said, I don't hear the gunfire. He said, I can hear that guy screaming at me. He said, how did you stay alive? He said, I stayed alive because I got scared. He said, I realized somebody's trying to kill me. He said, I stayed alive because I got scared and I listened to my commander. There's somebody back there that wants me dead. There's somebody out there that wants me alive. There's somebody out there that wants you dead. There's somebody out there called the devil that wants your family, that wants your joy. He wants everything you got. But there's also, thank God, somebody out there that wants you alive. There's somebody that loves you. You say, who's that? God. Fear God and keep His commandments. You say, keep His commandments? Yeah. Yeah. What? Let me sum up His commandments, because remember the sermon title, make a long story short. Fear God. Understanding that God is. Understanding that the life that I live, I will one day humbly and fearfully approach Him and give an account of the life that He has blessed me to have and that He has blessed you to have. You did not wake up today in North Korea. You woke up in the United States of America. You woke up with good air in your lungs. You woke up with the opportunity to come here and sit in the land of the free, the home of the brave, sit here, open up a Bible, read the Bible, worship our God, and however the dictates of our heart demand us to. You had that opportunity. Fear God. Keep His commandments. You say, what's that, Brother Jerry? Do what this book says. Or you say, are you always going to do right? Nope. You're going to fail because you're a sinner. But after you fall, you know the right thing to do? The right thing to do is get up and ask God to forgive you and keep on going down the road. Put your sin under the blood, ask God to forgive you, and go on down the road for God. Y'all know I've got a saying called the do-right rule, all right? I've got several sayings. Now, the do-right rule didn't make it in anybody's yearbook. But the other sayings of mine have made it into a couple yearbooks. You say, what's your two rules? Well, the first one is the do-right rule. In every situation, there's a right way and a wrong way. You know what's right, do right. The other philosophy I've got is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. How come all the kids remember that one? I had a superintendent ask me, he said, did you really tell all your school kids if they're not cheating, they're not trying? I said, look, we're raising winners out there at Pottersville, not losers. Amen. You say what? Fear God, keep His commandments. The Bible says that the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love the Lord, you'll study this Bible. You'll read this Bible. You'll ingest this Bible, and you'll try to live by it. Are you always going to succeed? No. Sometimes you're going to fall flat on your face. Sometimes you're going to fail. But when you fail, you got two options. You can lay there and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get up, dust yourself off, and go on for the glory of God. And the people that want to remind you that you fought, listen, you don't need them in your life anyway. Just get up, go on for the glory of God, keep His commandments. Fear God. Remember, I can enjoy this life. I can live this life. I can do something in this life. But I also have to understand that everything that I do here, I one day face God in judgment for. So the best thing that I can do is keep His commandments, try to live in a way that pleases my God, because one of these days I will have something to give Him. Besides shame, besides regret, I'll have something to offer my God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, listen to this one, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this. I think it's important that everybody in this place remember that there is an after this. This is not all that we've got. I wish that I could show you my Bible and see this morning and show you everything that Solomon is going through and how he's talking about all these different types of things that he's got and show you the struggle that he has. But by the end of it, he gets it all lined out. It's like watching geese get up off of a big field. I mean, just thousands of them in a big wad, and all of a sudden, by the time they get up there very high, they're in a perfect V. At the end of his life, he's in a perfect V, and he says, look, it's not about the money. It's not about the power. It's not about the prestige. It's not about the legacy. It's not about the things working out. It's not about your plans. You plan your life going this way, and all of a sudden it goes another way. He said, it's not about that. He said, this life is about fearing God and remembering to keep His commandments. And remembering that one day I'll stand in front of Him and I'll give an account of every good thing and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The best advice that I can give you, and listen, I remember, and I did. Whenever I went off to college, I had no idea what I was going to be. No idea whatsoever what I was going to be. And I will never forget this. My mother comes into my room whenever I'm out of town doing God knows what. I come home, and I've got a Bible laying on my bed. And it's got a little post-it note there in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, and I've used this many times, but it talks about, you know, about the Lord's Prayer and all that type of stuff. But it's in there, and it's saying, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust doth corrupt, or thieves not break through and steal, for where your treasure is. There, and it talks about, you know, the sparrow, they don't gather, they don't do this, but your Heavenly Father, and she said, just remember to put God first in your life. I'm trying to wind it up right now for y'all. I had no cares about God, had no care. I told my mom, I said, whenever I go to college, whenever I get out in this world, the one thing that I want to do is I want to make money. Say, how come you said that? Because I watched my mom and dad fight and kill themselves and everything else over money. And I thought if I could have money, I could have the big name. If I had money, I could do this. No. I'm standing today, several years down the road, looking back and saying, I've not got it all figured out, but I know the way that my, 18, 19, 20-year-old mind, he didn't have a clue. The life that I now have in Christ, fearing God, keeping His commandments, that's the best life that I've ever lived in my life. It's the best life that I know to offer. And if you're not saved, I'd tell you to fear God, get saved, join up, start trying to live right and do right. You'll have more fun. Listen, I've got no regrets serving God. I've got the best friends I've ever had serving God. Y'all with me? At the end of his life, he said, to make a long story short, fear God, keep His commandments. Love God, live for God, and realize that one day I'm going to see Him and I'm going to give an account for Him. We can live every day like that. Tell me a better life. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. Short and sweet.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this live radio broadcast from Pottersville Baptist Church. I pray that it was a blessing and that it will be used to bring you closer and strengthen your walk with the Lord. Be sure to tune in next Sunday morning to the Preaching of the Cross radio program right here on KUKU 100.3.